So we're here at the Scottish Learning Festival. This is David Noble at the end of day one, and I know this audio will be going out weeks or months later, but I'm absolutely buzzing because I've bumped into old friend Louise Jones. How are you doing, Louise?
I'm good, thank you, David.
Yeah, and welcome back to the Scottish Learning Festival. It's been a busy day, I think, for everybody, but lots of good things being showcased, and one of them is the current project that you're involved in. But before we come on to that, you know, what have you been doing since you were last on Radio Edutalk?
Oh, I think it was quite a few years ago that I was on Edutalk, and I was probably talking about safer and responsible use of technology. So yeah, that must have been about 4 or 5 maybe years ago. And after that role, my work took a bit of a different direction, and it was because there was a chance to do something different. Opportunity came knocking for me and the Highland Council, and it was because they were looking to refresh all of their IT equipment. So I was tasked with a role to look at what that was going to look like in the future. And it was quite a pressure at the time because people said, you probably just be looking at a like-for-like model and don't raise expectations, Louise, and remember you've got less money to spend. So I had the kind of authority saying that to me, and yet spending time in schools, I realised how things were so bad in terms of slow boot up times, not getting access to the right resources, really corporate model in the schools, and it just wasn't right for learning and teaching. So there needed to be something different. So rather than just think about the technology, we thought what we wanted to do for learning, and I spent 2 years researching what was going to be a good model for technology in education, and looked at global national research, carried out surveys and interviews with pupils and parents and staff and industry, and went to visit some really great authorities and looked at what was happening with other countries. And it was clear that we needed to start with what we wanted for learning and forget the technology. And yeah, we wanted to look at something that was right for 21st century learning, and I started running some pilots in a secondary school and put it all together and came up with a strategy which really had learners at the heart of the strategy. It was not a corporate model. And that was rolled out, and then we looked at the technology itself and thought, well, a one-to-one model is the way to go, but it wasn't going to be affordable. So we started looking at different products, and G Suite Education was one of the ones we looked at, and it quickly became sort of clear to us that this was going to be a really good way of improving access to technology per se, and looking at one-to-one models with Chromebooks. And to cut a long story short, and after a lot of battles and a lot of scars and a lot of fights and writing policies that I could now do off the top of my head, and even having to write a policy on the potential for children to sue the council in if they got repetitive strain injury from using Chromebooks, which was an actual policy I had to write. Yeah, we came through the other side, and now that's been scaled out to 22,000 kids. And it's shown that you can do have a model that actually costs less and does such a lot more, and it saves money. So that was really, really cool, and I love that work. It was something that, well, you can probably hear, it was kind of like lived and breathed it, and was my world. And then I was just, yeah, I was ready for something new, so I'm now working independently and loving it.
Right, so you've
long
just,
story.
Yeah, fascinating. And you know, you've just given a presentation to a busy room at SLF, and it's all about the Digital Schools Awards Scotland. So can you tell us what it is and what your role is?
Yeah, sure. So the Digital Schools Award was launched last year, a year ago today at Scottish Learning Festival. And it originated in Ireland and Northern Ireland, where they wanted to have a way that schools could celebrate all that they were doing in being a digital school and have something that not only provided a bit of direction and a bit of guidance and some resources in terms of what are the elements that make up a really good digital learning teaching strategy, but also some formal recognition for that. So I was approached to be one of the validators, which was just lovely. I think they'd put a call out, and a few people said, oh, have you spoken to Louise, because she's got more time on her hands now. So I was approached to be one. I cover the north of Scotland, and once a school is signed up for it, and they've worked through the areas of self-evaluation, they can request a visit, and I go out and spend 2 hours celebrating all that the schools are doing and speaking to pupils and staff. It's not an inspection. And yeah, then we're happy to kind of rubber stamp really what they've already said in their self-evaluation, and then they get a formal award. And it's been going a year. 40 odd schools are now completely validated, 407 schools signed up for it, and as of today it's open now to secondary schools. So that's a whole new step forward.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic, and it's a big announcement today, and hopefully by the time this audio goes out, you know, there's many dozens of secondary schools have signed up and are taking it forward. But through this, you know, can you tell us some inspiring stories? You know, what have you seen in schools that's really warmed your heart?
I think that I can honestly say, hand on heart, that, you know, all the schools that I've been to visit are completely unique, and they're all at different points of their journey. So what works in one school is not going to be might not work for another school, for example. So it's really dependent on where the school's at in terms of they're developing their digital culture. I'm really seeing some of the legacy work that some of the people you and I have worked with and known and loved and been part of the network with for the last 10 years. You know, I am seeing the maturity of some of the products that were available in Glow, like WordPress. And I mentioned John in my presentation because I thought that he really, you know, deserved to be recognised for the work that he's done around the WordPress solution. The work around computational thinking, you see that the nurseries and primary schools are using some of the barefoot stuff, you know, really nice kind of unplugged activities. And when you see that happening and it's actually part of learning and it's not just an activity to learn to code. So I saw one example of a young P2 pupil, and she created a floor map of the island of Shrewey, which is Katie Morag's fictitious island, and she was creating her own stories, driving the car around the island to go and visit the places. And that, just to see her face tell me about it was just so important. And Logan, a P1, you know, coding and creating his own programs, which motivated Dad to come in and tell the school that he was so impressed with what his son was doing, and he was creating his own animations at home, things like that. And I don't ever think you should ignore those bits of anecdotal evidence in terms of impact, because it's when you hear stories like that you see how engaged the kids are in their learning, and it's just phenomenal. And that's the legacy of all of the work that's been done, particularly Louise Foreman, Jean Jelly, all the work that they were doing in terms of, you know, supporting computing science and computational thinking. It's just been phenomenal. So the thing that really stands out for me is that when you see schools using collaborative tools, and they're using them in a way that promotes feedback, it promotes the kind of real-time kind of collaboration, you really see the skills in those kids more along the path than you would in some of the other schools. So, yeah, absolutely the kind of opportunities for creativity, but collaboration, it's just, yeah, really making a difference.
In your presentation, Louise, you know, you spoke about the kind of skills for the 21st century, so collaboration, communication. Can you say a wee bit more about computational thinking? The problem I have is that immediately makes me think that a school going down this route would need to show that they've got a coding club and the computing sciences there, but it's obviously far broader than that. So can you kind of enlighten me?
Definitely. I think I see it the other end, and I'm really lucky that I'm working in industry now. So in my other role, where I'm seeing people using collaborative tools, and then they may be thinking about like a process of how that process is enacted. It might be a workflow. It might be as simple as developing creative ideas around the use of an app, and, you know, those kinds of things. And, you know, pretty much all kind of companies and organizations need to think on their digital feet right now. So code clubs, absolutely nothing wrong with that in terms of getting people kind of into the, you know, raising awareness. But once you see it being used as a process for thinking logically, that computational thinking is kind of losing its computational thinking. It's just thinking in a lateral way. So I'm seeing that that's making a difference. It isn't just about creating apps, and it isn't just about, you know, programming something to do something that's got no real meaning. It's actually, you know, something that is... it's a thinking process, and I'm seeing that that's actually making a difference. But also, you know, I really think that we've talked a lot about, you know, people being the problem solvers of the future, and it's nice and aspirational, but actually with some of the technology we're seeing in our own homes now, whether it's kind of, you know, your sort of Alexas or your home, all of those things are going to have an element of computational thinking behind them in terms of the whole Internet of Things. And, you know, if people have a few of those lateral processes and the thinking behind them, then who knows, they might actually be able to go and create something.
Yeah, of course. And there was another one of the people speaking on the video that you showed was talking about we're building a digitally resilient economy. Wow.
It was really good. I'm really happy. I'll share the slides with you so that anyone else can watch them. Because there's a little video in there, and it is the sort of corporate digital schools videos, but it's really nice to hear that, you know, this isn't just me standing in a room talking about it. There is a really big push behind
it.
It's
shown you what's going on in schools, but also how it's part of the bigger picture. In terms of what these young people are going to be facing in terms of the labour market and the technological world in a few short years.
And as I mentioned, the sort of collaboration and the communication element and people working in teams they're not part of. Mm-hmm. And it is a gig economy, and the school community that I went to visit, they had more home workers than any other community in Scotland. So mums and dads have 3 to 4 different jobs, and, you know, maybe are self-employed for some of those jobs as well, and people are not getting the income from one job, so they need to kind of think about what they can create, sell, make, other aspects they can do on top of their day-to-day jobs, because jobs are not going to be kind of for life, are they? Or if they are for life, are they going to give you the income that you actually need? But, you know, I think there's a lot of focus on work in the future, but I also think that I wouldn't want to forget that schools are a place where having that connectivity in terms of interaction and love and passion and compassion and all of those kinds of empathy values is just so important. But pupils are not going to have that kind of love for their school or develop that physical sense of connection or well-being within their school community if it's not engaging. So, you know, if you're making it an engaging place to come in and do different things and try different things and be creative, then, you know, it's going to produce hopefully some really resilient kids.
And so going back to the actual the award itself, people sign up. How do they do that, and what are the kind of key elements then that you're looking for, or that you're kind of marking people on when you go? Sorry, that's not the right phrase. What are the key elements that you're looking at when you go into school?
So
what happens at the very end of the
process? Yeah, so it's a 3-step process. So people can go to digitalschoolsawards.co.uk, and first of all they sign up, and it literally is a 5-minute process. They create a profile, it's all secure, and they get their username and password, and they can do that with any email. So once they're signed up, they get access to a self-assessment kind of portal, and the 5 areas that particularly the primary schools will be looking at are leadership and vision. So they will go through that section, and they might have to produce a example of their digital learning teaching strategy. It might be that they will show their safe and responsible use policy. And that's a really key part of it, using technology safely and responsibly. So leadership and vision is about having a bit of a strategy behind it, but that's probably the only policies that they need to demonstrate. It's not about producing a folder or a scrapbook. And as I said in my presentation, if I go into school and I've produced a folder of printouts, then I'd probably say, yeah, you didn't need to do that. So that's the first area. The second area for primary is digital technology integration in the curriculum. And as I mentioned with the Katie Morag example there, you know, that isn't about teaching a pupil to code or program a car. It was actually about literacy, and it was actually about art, and it was about producing this wonderful floor map that all of her peers and small groups could work on. So it was about using technology for learning, as opposed to kind of being quite kind of, yeah, I mean, obviously learning about technology is important, but really integrating technology into the curriculum. The third part is around the school culture, and I would want to see that technology is not just used in the classroom, that you were thinking about anytime, anywhere learning, but also how technology can engage all the staff and be used with parents and carers, and they're actively aware of what the school's doing in terms of digital learning and teaching, but actually it helps them to feel part of the school community. Mm-hmm. And when I see that happening, you see that parents and carers are much more likely to support the school in taking technology forward, mm-hmm. because they understand it, and that's what I mean by the culture. So technology is almost permeating every kind of function of the school. Fourth is CPD, and I think that historically there's a danger of just looking at what the authority provides in terms of CPD or what might be available nationally, but then thinking about, you know, the kinds of internal things with building a learning network in the school and being able to share tips, tricks, ideas, you know, bring something, have a learning lunch, that pineapple classroom observations, you know, all of those kinds of things. There are just so many different things that schools do, yeah. rather than just having a twilight session.
Yeah. Which is that also bringing in social media? But, you know, some of the people you've spoken about have obviously been on Twitter for many years, so if they're pulling that kind of side in.
Definitely. And, you know, I am seeing things like Yammer being used, and I am seeing things like Twitter being used, or things within Facebook, or even just having their own kind of school site, which is a pop-up site, and people are adding resources. And it isn't just about read this, share this. They are genuine ideas of practice that works for them. So that's been, yeah, so I want to see things kind of growing within the school, as opposed to a signpost to a online resource. And then five, resources and infrastructure. And I think it's easy just to think, well, the local authority provides the desktops, laptops and the wireless, and actually, you know, when you see what schools can do unplugged with computational thinking, looking at patterns and leaves outside in the muddy kitchens or whatever, and then thinking about, you know, it's okay to kind of use social media, or, you know, we kind of moved on from just what the physical resources are in a school. But also, you know, that might not be a bad thing if a school's really struggling around resources and infrastructure, for us to put in the report, you know, the school could really benefit from having an improved access. So I'd like to think that we were really supportive. So once a school has completed a self-evaluation in those areas, and they think they're ready, so there's no time limit, and they can sign up and request a visit a year later, 18 months later, whenever, but they need to kind of feel that they're ready for it, then they might be prompted to say, oh, would you like a visit? And then a mutually convenient kind of time would be created, and we go in and spend 2 hours, 2.5 hours, maybe longer, especially if it's a long journey, just completely joining in with kids and talking to parents and pupils and stuff. And our role is completely celebratory. We're not an inspection. It's there to really get the best out of the school for us as validators, because then people start coming up with their exciting examples. But also, I think whoever goes into a school has got a role in reinforcing what the school's doing. So if I'm speaking to parents, I'm always like, oh, I've just heard the most wonderful things that are happening in the school. Because, you know, you're there, you're on their side, you're there to kind of make a difference as well.
Yeah, and so at some point after that, you then agree a report with the head teacher. Is that how are these reports been used? You know, is there an expectation, or are schools then coming up with action plans, or are they sharing it with their authorities with a view to?
Yeah, so the report that I do is, I try and capture all of the nice reflections and the things that we've discussed, and I'll email it back to the head teacher for approval as well, to check for accuracy and make sure that I've not missed anything out particularly, or anything they really want me to highlight. And then once they've approved it, I send it off to the Digital Scores Award team. And they then would say, yeah, so I'm really making a recommendation. I can't say on the day, you're a digital school. You know, that's not my role to do that. I'm literally affirming what the school said in their self-evaluation. So once the report's been approved, they get a nice plaque. You know, people like badges and plaques, don't they? And that's a nice thing to have. And then you see the local authorities celebrating that their schools have won it, or they might mention it in the newspaper, or they might mention it in the committee meetings with elected members. So I think that's really nice, and certainly putting it out on Twitter. In terms of what they do after that, hopefully, and there's no compulsion around what they do with it afterwards, but it's certainly, and the whole point is that everyone's on a journey, and the times they are changing, and things will evolve, and new technologies will come and go, and there'll be changes in learning and teaching, and changes in what's available in terms of development. So there's always going to be room for improvement. So it's not a rubber stamp done deal, and next year we change the criteria, because you can always develop more of the areas. So it's not formal enough for me to say, you know, build this into your school improvement plan. You know, that's down to them how they take it forward, but I hope that they would include it in their school improvement planning cycle.
And just finally, is a big development then rolling it out to secondary schools? Is there any other developments taking place at the moment, and do you think that it will be ever so different from what's going on in primary up till now?
I think it's going to have to be different, because the criteria was set for primary. So the criteria has been revamped, and yeah, it's now available to the secondary schools. I think that they will see much more of an emphasis on computing science and computational thinking, because the last sort of round with primary schools, it was mentioned, but it wasn't a separate criteria. So for secondary schools, there's 5 criteria, which an enhancement of the primary. And these secondary school kind of criteria were devised in consultation with computing at schools and other names that I know you know, and developing the workforce and Education Scotland and the teams in Ireland, and I think St Mungo's as well. So they had feedback from secondary schools as well. So I think that it's really difficult as a validator to try and get a kind of accurate picture of a school in 2 hours. So there's going to be a heavier emphasis on the self-assessment. But, we're quite long in the tooth, us validators. You know, we can kind of cut through and see, you know, when people are trying to pull you all over your eyes. But what's the kind of, what's the gain in that, you know? Yeah. It's got to be meaningful. And, you know, if I genuinely thought a school was that far back on their journey that they needed not to be awarded that, then they wouldn't be. I just think that it's really important to recognise that schools are at different places and to be supportive, and maybe say, you know, go back and have a look at the assessment process and here's some ideas, and yeah, invite us back in a year or whatever, or 6 months or whatever.
Well, listen, it's been great hearing about the award, and best wishes for it. You know, I know you're on your own journey, and this is something that you've spoken very passionately about this afternoon, so I hope your work's very fruitful as you continue into the future, and you know, never be a stranger to Radio EduTalk, so I'd be delighted to have you back on in the months and years to come.
Oh, thank you. It's been lovely to see you and lovely to talk about it as well. And